In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, October 5th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Last night, the vice presidential candidates, Democrat Tim Kaine and Republican Mike Pence, debated each other at Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia. In a rare moment on the national stage, they went toe-to-toe on abortion. The difference was striking. Despite his claim to be a good Catholic, Kaine defended the murder of babies, even in the third trimester.
We really feel like you should live fully and with enthusiasm the commands of your faith, but it is not the role of the public servant to mandate that for everybody else. So let's talk about abortion and choice. We support Roe versus Wade. We support the constitutional right of American women to consult their own conscience, their own supportive partner, their own minister, but then make their own decision about pregnancy. That's something we trust American women to do that. Governor Pence wants to repeal Roe versus Wade. He said he wants to put it on the ash heap of history.
By contrast, Pence's commitment to the pro-life cause flows out of his salvation as a college freshman.
For me, the sanctity of life proceeds out of the belief, that ancient principle that where God says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. What I can't understand is with Hillary Clinton and now Senator Kaine at her side is to support a practice like partial birth abortion. The very idea that a child that is almost born into the world could still have their life taken from them is just anathema to me. I can't conscience about a party that supports that. Hillary Clinton wants to repeal the long-standing provision in the law where we said we wouldn't use taxpayer dollars to fund abortion. So for me, my faith informs my life, but it all for me begins with cherishing the dignity, the worth, the value of every human life.
And now, former President Bill Clinton says Obamacare is not working, reports Fox News. Bill Clinton, on the campaign trail for Hillary, told voters in Michigan on Monday that the legislation has created a, quote, crazy system, unquote. He says millions more people have health care, but those unable to qualify for subsidies are getting killed. A jailed Chinese house church leader has been tortured by authorities to extort a confession since his arrest last December and is now suffering from serious diseases, reports Christian Today. Yang Hua, who was suffering from liver pain, wrote a letter to his wife in which he said, quote, "You shouldn't be too anxious. It is best to remain peaceful and wait for God. God is omniscient. I believe that he never makes a mistake. Let's carry the cross and hasten down the road to heaven until the day we meet the Lord," unquote. Persecution against Christians in China has increased sevenfold since 2008, according to China Aid. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10. Joe Godfrey, executive director of Alabama Citizens Action Program, spoke to The Worldview about the suspension of Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore, who dared to affirm traditional marriage in the face of the Obergefell Supreme Court decision last June.
I am not surprised by the suspension of Judge Moore, but I am very disappointed because I feel that it was an attack on religious liberty in America. I admire Judge Moore for his stance that marriage is between one man and one woman, because in this case particularly, he was standing on constitutional law.
Godfrey is hopeful that Chief Justice Moore will be exonerated and restored to his former position by his former colleagues.
It is my hope that the Alabama State Supreme Court will overturn the decision of the Court of Judiciary, but my sense of the likelihood of that happening is based on the fact that in the past, the court has demonstrated it's a very conservative court and very careful to adhere to the state constitution and the Constitution of the United States. I believe that it's very possible they could overturn the Court of Judiciary's decision.
If the Alabama Supreme Court fails to restore Judge Moore, he will remain suspended without pay through January 2019, the remainder of his term. The European Space Agency announced it's finalizing a monumental 3D map of the Milky Way next year, reports Christian Headlines. Scientists will plot a billion stars, just 1% of those in our galaxy, on the Gaia mission map. Orbiting the sun at slow speed, the 33-foot-wide Gaia spacecraft has two telescopes that gather data with a measurement precision akin to gauging the diameter of a human hair from 600 miles away. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Psalm 19:1. And that's the World View on this Wednesday, October 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising the issues at the very end of Western civilization, right here in my basement, broadcasting at the very, very brink of the decline and the destruction of Western civilization. Steve Vaughn with us today, and I don't think I'm over-exaggerating the issue of what is going on in the Western world, Steve. We are looking at the final chapters on the Western world. We've been chronicling the steady demise of faith, family, and freedom, and the destruction of our civilization, our social systems, over the last 12 years of the broadcast. And not many people will say it quite the way we say it. But when you look at what is going on, when you look at the influence, the waning influence of Christianity in all of the Western world, which I chronicle in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian World, you can't help but say that, hey, we've seen a tremendous decline in the influence of the Christian world and life view just over the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah, and it seems to be that the pages keep turning faster and faster just in the last 10 to 15 years. It's getting worse.
Yes, the neurotic agenda has almost entirely been incorporated across the entire Western world, involving the increased persecution of Christians and the celebration of the abominable practice of homosexual marriage, which has been incorporated just about everywhere. And what we're seeing right now is one of the last men standing in the civil magistrate in the United States of America. And this may be the last man standing, maybe not quite the last man standing, but Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore went to trial just a few days ago before the Alabama Court of the Judiciary. This is the second time, due now this time to the influence of a man in drag, a 6 foot, 6 inch man in drag and high heels, who names himself Starlet, who was able to bring down the last righteous man in the state of Alabama, a man who has stood strong for the last 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years on the Ten Commandments. He was simply trying to acknowledge God as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. That's what removed him the first time. This time, he has somewhat discouraged issuing the marriage licenses to same-sex couples in the state of Alabama. Now, I'd just say he somewhat discouraged people to do this, and yet it seems that maybe he is backtracking ever so slightly. It's hard to say what's going on. You know, politically, he's trying to make things work for him. I'm sure he's trying to create a proper defense for himself, but he is charged with defying Alabama's Code of Judicial Ethics in his January order for Alabama probate judges to not issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples at least for a period of time. And so he was trying to buy, I think, a little bit of time. And certainly, I think it's accurate to say that he was somewhat discouraging one of the most evil practices in the history of mankind. And it was good to see that there was a top justice. There was a man with some authority in the state of Alabama who was willing to do that. I don't see any other House rep, congressman, senator, governor, or president in this country who is willing to stand for the cause of righteousness, at least at that level. So it's interesting that the last man standing is falling. He's coming down. It appears he's coming down. Now, by the grace of God, he may be sustained. God, of course, sovereign over all of these things. So we'll see what happens over the ensuing days. Apparently, within 10 days or so, the Alabama probate judges or the Alabama Court of the Judiciary will come down with their final ruling on the position for Chief Justice Roy Moore of the Alabama court.
Yeah, and when you say he's coming down, doesn't mean coming down in God's eyes. This is coming down in the eyes of the state, who want him to come down, and they'll do whatever they can to bring him down, but God is still king.
He's come down once, he may come down twice, but my understanding is there's a lot of people in the state of Alabama that would love to see him run for governor.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with Chief Justice Roy Moore from the state of Alabama. But friends, again, here we are, the last chapter of the Western world, and we have just a handful of righteous men left across this country. They're extremely rare, especially any pastor, any leader who's willing to stand up and acknowledge God as sovereign over the nations, the judgment of God close to coming to a nation that has committed the crimes of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's hard to find anybody of any substance, of any notoriety in America who's willing to take the stand. So here we have the final chapter in the Western world, the last man standing, and what may be the last country standing, and that is the country of Ireland, the last nation in the Western world to adopt state approval of women killing their children. Poland being in Eastern Europe, so I don't quite count that pro-life nation as in the Western world, but Ireland being the last nation in the Western world to adopt state approval of women killing their babies. And friends, again, Ireland, the snakes were driven out approximately 475 AD, thanks to the influence of Patrick some 1,500 years ago. And thankfully, there has been something of a Christian influence in the state of Ireland over a millennium and a half that certainly illustrates the amazing influence of Jesus Christ. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to write our history books to acknowledge what Jesus Christ did over a period of 2,000 years. Granted, right now it appears that the influence of the Christian worldview is declining a bit in the Western world, but let's make sure that our children are not just reading what's going on in the Western world. Let's make sure they're reading the full-orbed history of what Christ has done over 2,000 years and what he's done around the globe, not just in the West, but also in the East. We tell these stories in new curriculum coming out, new history curriculum for the new Christian student, for the use of Christian homeschools and Christian schools over the next 100 years. That curriculum is coming out through a Christian Curriculum Project and the Generations Publishing team. I'm writing fast and ferociously to get a new history curriculum together so that our children will be relieved of reading too much of the Empires of Man and American history that is telling a very, very sad story as to Christian influence. But Christ's influence over 2,000 years has been admirable, my friends, and we need to continue to tell that story. Certainly, it's been admirable in the country of Ireland, despite the fact that Ireland is the last country standing and will soon come down. It appears, will soon come down because the forces of darkness are descending on that country thanks to the influence of American billionaire George Soros that's funding a number of organizations behind the abortion movement in the state of Ireland. Soros, of course, is known for his support of Acorn, Huffington Post, Southern Poverty Law Center, Sojourners, People for the American Way, and Planned Parenthood, and other organizations that have done their best to pave the way to the destruction of the Christian influence in the Western world. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. When the battle heats up and the going gets tough, what do the tough do? The tough will turn on ESPN. We'll talk about that more next on the Generations broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
Back on the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson with you. So is Steve Vaughn. As we continue to chronicle the decline of the Christian influence in the Western world, Ireland being the last state standing, and Judge Roy Moore being one of the last man standing in the Western world, as we hang on to some remnants of the Christian world and life view that we've inherited over thousands of years of the discipleship of nations on the part of many courageous missionaries. I'm doing a history of the most courageous missionaries in the history of the world that brought the gospel to the most horrendous, demonic-infested worlds and nations around the world over the last 2,000 years. It's an amazing story. Men of tremendous courage, men who dedicate their lives to prayer and fasting, men who are mighty spiritual men of God, accomplished amazing things. They engage the real battles. And the point being, my friends, right now, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. The real battles are spiritual battles. We've got a real battle on our hands in the Western world. We're on the cusp of persecution of the Christian church and the Christian faith. We are going to be tested big time in terms of our faith over the next ensuing years, and we are heavily outnumbered, and it appears that we are on the losing end. Our faith is challenged, but here's the good news. It's times like these where our faith will be challenged big time when the going gets tough. The tough We'll turn on ESPN. Let's talk about sports.
Yeah. Now, when you say ESPN, do you mean ESPN1, ESPN2, ESPN3,
oh, are there
ESPN
more than one
sports,
ESPN channel?
Sports news, yeah. News.
Yeah, yeah,
there's about 10 of them.
There's sports channels everywhere. And when the going gets tough, what do real men do? When the going gets tough for the real men, what do? They turn on ESPN. They engage in watching sports, not even in playing sports, but watching sports. Why? Because sports, for the man, is mock warfare. It's not real warfare. It's mock warfare. Sports has always been mock warfare. So when men turn on the sports channels, they emasculate themselves to some extent in that they get lost in the metaphor. Now, not everyone gets lost in the metaphor. I'm not saying watching sports is wrong. I'm not saying playing sports is wrong. I'm just simply saying that the tendency for the men, the reason there are so few men to stand, the reason why we're left alone in the field of lentils as much as we are, is because they're watching ESPN. They're lost in the metaphor. They like the metaphor. And so it's all about the pretend war. It's not about the real war in which we're wrestling against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, engaging in the cosmic warfare of the ages. This is what's lost in the minds of most modern men. Now, thankfully, the women are engaging the war, and there are many women engaging in spiritual warfare where men don't. But I want to draw in the story from one of the recent production companies. DirecTV has produced a television show called The Religion of Sports, and New York Giants defensive end Michael Strahan and New England Patriot quarterback Tom Brady have come together. I guess they're the hosts of this program, and they're doing this program called The Religion of Sports for DirecTV, and it's a six-part documentary TV series.
Wow.
Six parts, called The Religion of Sports. And it's produced by Deepak Chopra. I'm sorry, the son of Deepak Chopra. And here's some of the conversation that Associated Press had with these men as they introduced the Religion of Sports program. Now, this is, again, sports in its epistemological self-consciousness. They're becoming more self-conscious of what they're doing. And Strahan says, I love the emotional aspect of sports. You hear of Religion of Sports and you say, okay, so sport is a religion. Well, yeah, it really is. Okay, so again, these are the aficionados, these are the priests, the high priests of the modern religion, and they say, yes, sports is a religion. The temple, according to Strahan, the temple is in this arena, is the arena or stadium. these athletes can be considered the gods in certain ways, and the fans can be considered parishioners. So to be able to explore that and the spiritual connection between sports and life, that's what really piqued my interest in this program. So this is some of the most honest representation of the American heart, as they have created false gods and idols. And by the way, all of the gods of the heathen are idols, but God made the world. God has made the universe. So let's keep that in mind. But again, we have so many false gods here. And yes, the stars tend to be gods. And so that's why people prefer watching the Super Bowl on Sunday or the sports games on Sunday instead of coming to church. That's a key example of the American God. The American gods are the sports idols. The American gods are the entertainment idols. American God tends to be the status idols. It tends to be man as expressed in different ways. Sometimes it's money and the people that have made the money. But these are the gods. And here, Strahan himself has said, I love the emotional aspect of it. The temple is the arena. The athletes can be considered the gods, and the fans can be considered parishioners. Man, he's self-conscious of the new religion of the American people.
Yeah, it's amazing how accurate he is on this. That's really what it is. And you can tell that people are really affected by this because, you know, somebody from, I think it was from Auburn, who went to Arkansas and burned down tried to burn down the trees that they worship in the Aggieville area of Auburn, because that's where everybody joins together when that team wins. And so you get people who actually are controlled by whether their team wins or loses. Denver goes into this massive depression when the Broncos lose. And there's even a rise in domestic violence and things like that when Broncos don't do well. People, we can't have it be that way.
Well, these are false gods. And, you know, this idea that somehow America is a Christian nation and pagan nations have their issues. We went to Japan as missionaries, and there they were, the Japanese bowing down before the god shelves, the Shinto god shelves or the Buddhist temples. Mm-hmm. And we said, wow, what a bunch of pagans. We come back to America, and we get on the highways on a Sunday morning and have a hard time getting to church in downtown Denver. Why? Because everybody's flocking into the Denver Broncos Stadium. And so here's the church. Yes, here's the temple, acknowledged by this program on DirecTV, my friends. This is the religion of America, for the most part. It is a humanistic religion in which they turn the humans into gods. And they are flawed gods as well. St. Augustine, in his book, his Confessions, he said, attributing divine nature to wicked men is what we do best. Now, I did a little bit of Kevinese in there in order to help you to understand what he's saying. Attributing divine nature to wicked men is what we do best in order that crimes might be no longer crimes. Why does he say that? What we do is we reduce men who can kick a ball for 40 to 50, 60 yards, we lift them up to godhood, and then we see that they're just normal men like us, and they break God's laws right and left like we do, and they're immoral, and we do it in order that we might no longer see ourselves as really subservient to the true and living God. So that's what he's saying here. Sports heroes, they do not make very good gods. They're flawed gods. We see them coming down right and left, whether it be golf champions or whether it be bicyclists that are, you know, cheating in their drug use, and whether it be football stars that are beating up on their girlfriends in elevators. You hear these stories just about every other day. But sports heroes do not make very good gods. They're flawed gods. But people really like flawed gods, because they attribute divine nature to wicked men in order that crimes might be no longer crimes. This is what humanist man does. He reduces godness to these humans. These humans that are able to kick a ball just a little bit further than Kevin Swanson can. They reduce godhood to a superman who's not very super and can't do very much except entertain somebody, except pretend to be a hero in a stadium in which he's not really a hero because he hasn't really accomplished anything for the benefit of mankind except win a football game. toss a ball 40 yards in the air? That's it? And how does that compare to a God who creates a universe, who creates galaxies, who can kick a star that's 100 million times larger than Earth, 100 million miles across a universe? How does a football star compare to the true and living God? He doesn't, my friends. So this God created by modern sports that results in men staying home from church on Sunday in order to watch the early broadcast of the Bronco game is a fraudulent religion and is a blasphemy against the true and living God. This false religion needs to be decried by every pastor in America. Every radio program that claims to be Christian in America needs to warn people of these false gods and call people to repentance on these issues. I think Americans see themselves as a Christian nation and in no need of repentance. They're not sinful. They have no reason to come to God. They haven't violated the first commandment. They even violated the first commandment as badly as the Buddhists and the Shintos in Japan. And they need to be called to repentance on these things. They need to come to the conclusion that they really haven't esteemed the true and living God to be the true and living God. They have not worshipped him as they ought to. They have not praised him. They have not adored him. They have not lifted him up on a Sunday morning as they should. They have not acknowledged God to be the true and living God. They have not loved him with their heart, soul, mind, and strength as they ought to. Steve, this is a major issue. We need to call people to repentance on this. And hopefully if they begin to see that they have sinned, they have considered other gods to be more important than the true and living God. And if they realize how sinful they've been, how rebellious they've been against the true and living God, I hope they will come to acknowledge this sin and realize that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, came down here in order that he might pay for those sins, in order that he might save them from those sins.
Yeah, I think a good test would be as to whether or not this is really idolatry for you would be to think about what would happen and how would you feel if it all of a sudden went away, if it got taken away from you. If there was no longer football on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays for professional sports, if there wasn't any of this, if it got suddenly taken away, what would be your emotional state? If you could say, well, no big deal, then it's not a big deal. But if it's something that would be something devastating for your life, then this becomes an idol.
There are a couple of proper uses for sports in our lives, the first of which is bodily exercise. And the Apostle Paul does say bodily exercise profits a little, 1 Timothy chapter 3. But I'll tell you what, just sitting there on your Lazy Boy recliner, popping down your third Pepsi and scarfing a couple of bags of Doritos is probably not what Paul intended when he said bodily exercise profits a little. Yes, bodily exercise is a good thing. Go for a walk. Go for a jog. Play a little volleyball from time to time. That's okay. That's all right. Bodily exercise profits a little. But friends, be careful that it doesn't displace the more important things in life. Godliness is profitable for all things. That's the other half of that verse. Godliness, godly worship, being there on a Sunday morning, worshiping God, determining more reasons to see God's works and God's nature, and then to fall down on your knees and worship God one more time. That's what profits. That profits in every conversation. That profits in every meeting. That profits on every day. Well, and of course, sports can be somewhat of a metaphor for battle, but if you're lost in the metaphor and you're pretty much useless in terms of the real battles going on against the world, the flesh, and the devil, if you're in the back of Helm's Deep playing a video game while everybody else is fighting the orcs in the front of Helm's Deep, if you're just that guy who's trying to make it to the 31st level on your computer war game, and meanwhile, the others are fighting the real battle, they're fighting the orcs in Helm's Deep, you know, 30, 40 guys against 10,000 orcs, and you're back in the back playing the video games, shame on you. Shame on you that you've abandoned reality to the point that you can't see the true battle, the real battle that's to be engaged against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Wake up, my friend, wake up. You're in real war. Real spiritual battles against real, really big principalities and powers, and you need to engage this not in your own strength, but in the strength of Christ. So engage the battle. Prepare yourself for battle. Read Ephesians chapter 6 and understand that we've got to be ready. We've got to be watchful. We've got to be engaged. And we got to be prepared with the strength that only Christ can give to us. And that's the emphasis of Ephesians chapter 6. I encourage you to real battle, my friends. Please get out of the metaphor. Please come out of the haze of modern entertainment and the modern deification of sports and entertainment. Please come out of it. And by the Spirit of God, perhaps you will wake up. And you will repent and you will receive the true gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And He will be your captain from here until we make the river and the pearly gates of heaven. All right. It's battle from here on out. It is battle from here on out. That's really the thrust of our new course, Worldviews in Conflict, for high school students, and the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. We talk about spiritual warfare. In fact, we have spiritual warfare prayers at every chapter in Worldviews in Conflict. You can check out these resources at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. We'll be right back.